He used to make calls on the families to solve whatever problems they might have. It goes without saying, they wouldn't be turned away if they took the first step and requested his time. He was a father to the martyrs' children and a son to their parents. There are many accounts of the general sending his ring to a martyr's family upon the soldier's request before death, to surprise comfort calls and helping a boy get the girl he wants. Martyr Rezai's wife recalls, "My son was emotionally not in a good place after he lost his father, so I thought he best get married, as this should help him recover. The day to propose to our chosen girl came, but none of my late husband's relatives would accompany us. My son was really upset. One night he dreamt of his father saying, 'Don't worry, son, one of my brothers in arms will come to you. We expected anyone but General Soleimani. Still, when my son was out for a test, I got his letter to the general. My son had left the number and address of the bride-to-be in the letter. The designated night came, and we set out for her house. We'd been there just a few minutes when the bell rang. They opened the door to find the general. Everyone wept in shock and joy for a quarter of an hour. His presence was an honor and made for a successful night. A marriage sermon was recited that same night, with 14 gold coins assigned as the girl's alimony. General Soleimani made us promise not to print the affair anywhere, as he truly wouldn't have the means to do the same for all the martyrs' children, although he found himself duty-bound to do so for Rezai's son, given his high regard for his father, and because of the dream by a martyr's child. The general would participate in ceremonies for the martyrs' children and engaged with them. Whatever gifts he received at these assemblies, he would present to their families then and there. The attention he paid to the families was not just at times when he was in Iran. Even when in Syria or Iraq, he contacted martyrs' families and asked of their situation. Martyr Nosrati's daughter tells of a day her doorbell rang. She felt it was her father at the door, 33 years after his martyrdom. It was the general. He came in and hugged and conversed with her children, like a kind grandfather. He then told her son, Muhammad Hussein, to bring a piece of paper to write to his father. On it he wrote, "Take care of my daughter," meaning the daughter of Martyr Nosrati.
If God did not repel some people by means of others, many monasteries, churches, synagogues and mosques, where God's name is much invoked, would have been destroyed. The Holy Quran, chapter 22, verse number 40. Wassalam.
In the limelight.
It's not out of the question. It appears President Biden's war budgets are going to look a lot like President Trump's war budgets, says Andrew Lutz Ryder in an article titled, "Meet the Biden War Budget, Same as the Trump War Budget." Stay tuned for more. President Biden took a remarkably different approach than former President Trump when the two faced off.
Well, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, here we interrupt the normal course of our program to have the live coverage of the speech of Mahmoud Al-Zahar, one of Hamas leaders, on the occasion of the second anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General, the hero, Iranian hero and the symbol of anti-terrorism, Haj Qasem Soleimani. Let's take a listen.
time, but they will also be defeated and humiliated one more time. But our appointment will be soon with the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is far away from our bodies, but is close to our spirit, and we are also close to the Quds of this time, the purity of this place. This is the promise of the divine promise, and our promise is to you and the people of Al-Quds and the people of Palestine. We salute our prisoners, our brave prisoners, and salute salam, peace be upon all those who believe in the fact that oppression will be defeated and that righteous judgment.
Well, that was a speech by the co-founder of Hamas.
Well, dear listeners, you just heard a part of the speech of Mahmoud Al-Zahar, one of Hamas leaders, on the occasion of the second anniversary of the martyrdom of Haj Qasem Soleimani, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, Iranian hero and the symbol of anti-terrorism. Now, stay with IRIB English Radio. We will be back during this live coverage of IRIB English Radio program to have the speech of different figures, prominent figures, especially Iranian President Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi, who will speak on the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian hero and the global symbol of anti-terrorism. Please stay with IRIB English Radio.
The 2020 presidential campaign trail, both in style and in substance. You would hardly know the difference between the two, though, solely based on the $777 billion defense policy bill President Biden signed into law 2 days after the Christmas holiday. Organizations representing both progressive interests and more fiscally conservative perspectives had urged Biden earlier last year to pull back on the huge defense budget increases that occurred during the former President Trump's 4 years in office. From the defense budget just before President Trump took office, fiscal year 2017, to the last one Trump signed into law, fiscal year 2021, Department of Defense spending grew a staggering $98 billion, or 16%. The DOD's budget grew by $65 billion in Trump's fiscal first year, $17 billion in his second term, and $35 billion in his third year, before shrinking $19.5 billion in his final year. What's worse, that big $65 billion budget increase and the $25 billion increase in President Biden's final budget for the fiscal year 2017 were approved by Republican majorities in both chambers of Congress, despite the GOP's professed concern for fiscal responsibility. As noted, experts and advocates across the ideological spectrum were hoping President Biden would assume some leadership in advocating for a reduced defense budget relative to the Trump years. Biden would surely experience resistance from the defense hawks in Congress in both parties. The thinking went, but he could give this reduced, more sustainable defense budget a major boost with Congress by advocating for it within the president's annual budget request. Unfortunately, President Biden's first defense budget request was largely unambitious and effectively held spending flat relative to former President Trump's final year in office. At the very least, the first Biden budget request did not advocate for major increases to the defense budget, unlike President Trump and his first defense budget. Based on the reaction from major military boosters in Congress, though, you would have thought the sky had fallen. Republicans called the budget request reckless and even dangerous. A dozen Senate Democrats on the Armed Services Committee voted last summer to fatten up Biden's budget request by $25 billion, with only Senator Elizabeth Warren having the courage to vote no on tens of billions of dollars more for the military and the contractors that support it. And so the defense policy bill President Biden signed into law authorizes $740 billion in spending on the military, along with an additional $27 billion for nuclear weapons under the Department of Energy, and $1 billion for miscellaneous defense needs, $25 billion more than President Biden's $715 billion budget request, and $36 billion more than the $704 billion spent on the military in the last fiscal year. This larding up of the defense budget is happening even as the U.S. has ended major military operations in Afghanistan, and even as Congress is dedicating separate emergency funds to resolving the catastrophes that arose there. The press releases from senator or member of the House will talk about the 2.7% pay increase for the troops, or a whole of the government response to the climate crisis. Some of these initiatives are politically popular, but that's not where lawmakers are porking up the budget. Spending on military personnel is actually down relative to fiscal year 2021. What's up then? Procurement, that is acquisition of new ships, planes, and weapons for the military, gets a major boost in the new defense budget. $15 billion or 11.1% more than the Biden budget request. Research and development spending often on new ships, planes, and weapons that have yet to be built and procured is also up a big $5.7 billion or 5.1% from the president's budget request. This extra spending will buy the Navy new ships, prevent the Navy from retiring ships that it wants to retire, and allow the service branches to purchase plenty of new aircraft, combat vehicles, autonomous systems, missiles, and ammunition. Much of the extra spending goes to so-called unfunded priorities, requests of the military branches and combatant commands. Organization National Taxpayer Union calls them wish lists. In fact, they are more like stocking stuffers tacked on to make the Christmas time defense budget extra special for military officials and contractors than essential presents under the tree. Think lawmakers have fiscal responsibility at the Pentagon on their 2022 New Year's resolution list? Think again. Representative Mike Rogers, the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee, is already warning that the work is not finished and that combating will continue to be number one priority as they look ahead of fiscal year 23. Unfortunately for the nation's taxpayers, what combating these two nations often means is not spending smarter, but spending more. Will they see an $800 billion military budget in 2022 for fiscal year 2023? It's not out of the question. It appears President Biden's war budgets are going to look a lot like President Trump's war budgets. Thank you.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant fact.
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned. Mosque in Islam is the manifestation of worshipping Allah. No other place can replace mosque in Islam. Some of the deviated sects of Islam try to create some new rituals and replace them with the Salat and mosque. This is deviation in Islam. Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam in a hadith relates, "One is not from among us if he or she does not deny the teachings of Sufism. Prophetic tradition and conduct has no place for superstition."
راهکارم همونه که گفتم، تعقل، تفکر، اندیشه.
The best way to leave aside the superstitious beliefs is contemplation and pondering. The other way is to have trust in Allah. In the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah, in the Holy Quran, Allah tells His Prophet, "But if they turn their backs on you, say Allah is sufficient for me." The most important lesson we take from this ayah is to trust only in Allah and do not go astray from the path of Allah through superstitious beliefs. Now it is recorded in history that the stone on the ring of some of the Shiite Imams was engraved with the last ayah of Surah At-Tawbah. But why? Because in their opinion, everything is under the control of Allah and He has mastery over everything. It is also recommended to read this ayah of the Holy Quran very much, because it will remove some of the difficulties and hardships in your life. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Food for thought.
listeners, and here is a part of a sermon in the famous book Nahjul Balagha, in which the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, describes the simple, God-fearing lifestyle of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Blessed are the ascetics in the world, those who yearn for the other world, the people who spread Allah's earth beneath them to sleep on, who lean against this dust, whose motto is his book, whose maxim is supplicating to him, whose perfume is water, and who take the world on loan in the way of the Messiah. Verily, Allah the Exalted revealed to Jesus, O Jesus, keep to the first way, keep to the manner of the messengers. Say to your people, O brother of the warners, do not enter any of my houses except with pure hearts, clean hands, and lowered eyes. I will not hear the prayer of any who supplicates to me if any of my servants is oppressed by him, and I will not answer the prayer of any who has not fulfilled any of my rights over him.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Shanghai is one of the most famous cities in the world, boasting an impressive number of tourist attractions. Now, the city is hosting, that is host to, a new event that could draw excited visitors. The exhibition includes more than 100 items from Egypt, including 6 golden mummies. The most prized object on display is a 20-year-old female mummy with a gold mask and 2 jewels for eyes. Organizers have also put up for show original works by great European artists such as Raphael and Pablo Picasso. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats.
The mobile public library is back in the Afghan capital, Kabul, to bring joy to children with exciting books and games. The library reaches hundreds of children on a daily basis, seeking to expand its coverage in the coming days. Rahmatullah Baqban has more.
As the sun rises in Kabul, the Charmagh's mobile library starts a fresh mission to delight children. The library goes from zone to zone in the capital, Kabul, to spread the joy and love of reading among the Afghan children. It operates in 5 buses and has a children-friendly space. The organizers say they are happy being back for Afghan children.
At FMI, we want to enhance reading among children and boost their creative thinking. We have 5 mobile libraries operating across Kabul. Our services were shut for 3 months due to government change, but now they're happy that once again they can reach Kabul children. The library was sponsored by Afghan traders, but now it's out of funds and needs economic support.
I love my job here as a librarian. It's free for all. Children from different backgrounds come here to read books and play games. What I love most is watching children smiling and having fun with each other. I'm proud I can serve them with the skill I have.
Children are highly excited as they find the library right in front of their houses. Hundreds of children make daily use of initiative as most schools in Kabul lack library.
The mobile library used to come to our alley every week, but over the past 3 months, it didn't come and we missed it so much. We are very happy that it is bringing us joy again. Nowadays that our schools are closed, we can make use of its books.
We thank Charmax for its services. We have learned to read stories, play games, and draw pictures. We have kind teachers and have a good time with our friends.
This creative reading campaign results as the country faced many challenges, affecting children's schooling and taking reading opportunities from them. As schools remain closed for most Afghan children, such services can be a good haven for students and book lovers. The initiative can also encourage children and bring the reading to life. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
People in the northeastern Chinese province are trying to keep alive a winter tradition going back centuries. Each year, local fishermen and women in Jilin use an ancient technique to catch fish from Chagan Lake that is sealed with a thick layer of ice. What these locals do is they drill holes through the ice and put their nets under the holes to catch fish. But to pull out those nets from the lake, they will need help from a bunch of horses.
It was my first time seeing such a scene. 5 horses drawing a turntable to gradually pull the net up to the ice surface. I felt very novel to witness this.
The technique has been listed as a cultural heritage in China. The ceremony attracts a large number of local tourists during the fishing season, which lasts until the end of February. Albino animals are rare and very vulnerable, so when you find one, you need to make sure they get all the care they need to survive. And now, Colombian vets are doing all they can to help the very first case of an albino baby, Jaguarundi, that's been rescued there. Fire department volunteers rescued this female cub in the urban areas of the Abora Valley region. The vets are now giving it primary medical attention. The baby Jaguarundi will then be transferred to a conservation park in the city of Medellin for more protection. A local expert explains why they cannot put back the animal into the wild.
At this point, this animal cannot be released to the wild due to its albino condition. It is predisposed to certain health disorders, certain disadvantages when performing in the wild. Therefore, the only alternative for it is to end his life in a park such as this.
Albino animals face many difficulties in the wild and struggle with basic survival skills. They do not have good eyesight, and due to their lack of pigmentation, they cannot camouflage. Therefore, just like endangered species, human monitoring would increase their chances of survival.
Swimming in sub-zero temperatures can be unimaginable for most people, but not for a group of athletes who've tested their skills and strength in Prague's Vltava River. 360 people from 8 countries gathered in the Czech capital to participate in an annual winter swimming event. The air temperature was minus 6 degrees Celsius, with water temperatures dipping to as low as 3 degrees. The event honors Alfred Nikodem, a Czech swimmer who braved the frigid waters in Prague for the first time in 1923, starting a tradition that has been kept alive ever since.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now the world's most powerful observatory is finally on its million-kilometer journey after several technical delays. The NASA telescope named James Webb blasted off into orbit on Saturday, heading to an outpost that's 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The observatory was in the making for some 3 decades and cost about $10 billion. It left Earth enclosed in a rocket and from a launch pad in South America. The journey will last a month. The telescope is the size of a tennis court. And if everything goes according to plan, it will enter service in June. Astronomers are hoping they can learn more about the origins of the universe once it starts beaming back new clues. A school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by a Spanish environmental group and is inspired by a similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world lift up out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Claus's distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, 5 elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together and a fear in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different than the fur as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa and not the traditional three wise men give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Fitting in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about connecting with Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Today is the 29th of the month of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We're going to speak about a great lady, Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Fatima Zahra.
نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول نحن أبناء البتول عن خطاها لن نزول ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
Lady Fatima, in the verse of Mubahila, Allah the Exalted said in the Holy Quran, verse 61 of chapter 3,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين.
Then whoever argues with you about it after this knowledge has come to you, say, Come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, ourselves and yourselves, then supplicate earnestly together and invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars among us.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A delegation of Najrani Christians came to the Prophet. They intended to argue with him. The Archbishop started, Who was Moses' father? The Prophet answered, Imran. Who was Yusuf's father? The Prophet answered, Yaqub. Jacob, who is your father? Abdullah, who is Jesus' father? The Prophet waited a moment while Gabriel revealed the following to him. Say he was the Spirit of Allah and his word. The Archbishop then asked, Can he be a spirit without having a body? Again a revelation was sent to the Prophet. The similitude of Isa before Allah is as that of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, Be, and he was. When the archbishop heard this, he jumped in objection, saying that Isa was created from dust, and said, Muhammad, we won't find this to be in the Torah, the Bible, or in the Zabur. You are the first one to say this. This was the moment that the verse of Mubahila was revealed. After the delegation had heard the verse, they said, Assign for us a solemn meeting. The Prophet's answer to this was, Tomorrow morning, if Allah wills. The next morning, the Prophet ordered Ali ibn Abi Talib to follow him and Fatima Zahra, in turn holding Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein to follow Ali. When the delegation saw the Holy Family and that the Prophet had a spirit and met for himself and family, they said to each other, "By Allah, he is a true Prophet. And if he curses us, surely Allah will answer his prayer and destroy us. The only thing that can save us is to ask him to relieve us from this meeting."
Sayyid Muhsin Naqwi from the Islamic Seminary of Qum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, has said, "Fi binta Rasulillah li uswatun hasana." He said that in the life of the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a role model for me. When we look at the life of the Imam of the time, because he is the savior of the mankind, and once he says that a person is role model for him, therefore that personality can be role model for the whole mankind. This personality is the daughter of the Prophet, which is Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, or the Lady Fatima. When we look at her life, we look different aspects of her lifestyle, which can become a guide for us in order to follow the pure Muhammadan Islam. She is also known as Kawthar, the beneficent, or the place of goodness. This place of goodness means that whoever has dealt with her, or when she socialized in the people, amongst the people, she was the source of goodness for everyone, and she did goodness to everyone. Whereas we can see that even when she used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of night, she first used to pray for her neighbors, and then the people of Medina, and then Mu'mineen, and then for the household.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Hazrat Fatima, the most outstanding lady. Lady Fatima Zahra was an obedient daughter. She loved her parents so much and had won their love and respect to such an extent that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, used to rise whenever she came to him and called her the mother of her father. In the same vein, she was a humble and hard-working wife, a respectful and obedient spouse to her husband, so much that Hazrat Ali once described her as a partner in progress and in obedience to Allah. She never ever disobeyed her husband. In addition, as a fulfilled mother, Hazrat Fatima Zahra trained and brought up wonderful children who had left their unique marks in history, which will neither be erased nor forgotten. Interestingly, in answer to an inquiry about the lofty status of Hazrat Zahra, the noble prophet, who says nothing out of whims and caprices, said, "Verily, she is the leader of the women of the universe." The prophet was asked, "O Messenger of Allah, is she the leader of the women of her time?" And he, the prophet, replied, "There was the case with Maryam, daughter of Imran, but as for my daughter, Fatima, she is the leader of women of the world, the first and the last."
Lady Fatima, Lady Fatima, Lady Fatima.
dear brothers and sisters, this is the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now we look at a lesson we get from Lady Fatima, and that is praying for others. Lady Fatima taught us the importance in remembering others in your prayers before your own prayers. Her selfishness and devotion to the Ummah remains one of the core lessons to learn from Lady Fatima, and we can all learn to be better Muslims by following her example of praying for others before ourselves. When asked by her son Hassan why she did not pray for herself first, she answered, "My son, neighbors first, our household next."
And this is where we see that Abu Bakr demands witnesses. And there's a very interesting conversation between Amir al-Mu'mineen and Abu Bakr. And this is mentioned by Shaykh al-Tabrasi in Kitab al-Ihtijaj and Ibn Abil Hadid al-Mu'tazili in Sharh Nahj al-Balagha. Abu Bakr now has seized control of Fadak, and now he's saying, Fatima alayhi salam, she sends someone, the narration's in Bukhari, she sends someone to tell him that this was, you know, this is my inheritance from the Prophet, this belongs to me. Abu Bakr says, the Prophets do not leave inheritance. Where are your witnesses? So he's asking Fatima to Zahra to produce witnesses. And I'll read the narration for you, because I think that it's very beautiful how Amir al-Mu'mineen argues this. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْ So when Fatima al-Zahra demands Fadak, Abu Bakr says, هَذَا فَيْءُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Fadak is the property of all Muslims. So he's trying to treat Fadak like Khaybar, that just like Khaybar was distributed to the Muslims, Fadak is also public property. It belongs to all of the Muslims. فَإِنْ أَقَامَتْ شُهُودًا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ جَعَلَهُ لَهَا وَإِلَّا فَلَا حَقَّ لَهَا فِيهِ I'll change my opinion if she can produce witnesses that the Prophet gave it to her. So this is his argument. Amir al-Mu'mineen is there. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says to him, Ya Aba Bakr, أَتَحْكُمُ فِينا بِخِلَافِ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ The Imam says, Oh Abu Bakr, are you giving a judgment that contradicts Allah's judgment on these matters? Abu Bakr said, No. The judgment that I'm giving is, it corresponds to what the Sharia teaches. Then the Imam, he says, فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي يَدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ شَيْءٌ يَمْلِكُونَهُ ثُمَّ ادَّعَيْتُ أَنَا فِيهِ مَنْ تَسْأَلُ الْبَيِّنَةِ Abu Bakr is asking Fatima to prove that she owns Fadak. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says to Abu Bakr, if something is owned by the Muslims and it's in their possession, and I come and I claim that it's mine, who do you ask for evidence? And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, فَمَا بَالُ فَاطِمَ سَأَلْتَهَا الْبَيِّنَ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدِهَا وَقَدْ مَلَكَتْهُ فِي حَيَاةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبَعْدِ Then why are you asking Fatima for witnesses that she owns Fadak? She owned it during the lifetime of the Prophet. You seized it. You dismissed, you fired the workers that were working on the land of Fadak. So it was in her possession. So you have to prove that it is Fayt al-Muslimin.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, inshallah. We join together on another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma
صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Thank you.